We've been considering the fourth commandment recently. Friends, last time I really wanted us to focus on our primary duty, if you recall, the primary Lord's Day duty which God gives us, which is that we would diligently attend church to hear God's word. Well, this morning we're going to think some more about the various ways that we should practice a Sabbath day for the glory of God ultimately, but also for our own good. You'll notice the sermon title there, Keeping the Day of Rest. Let's turn now to the living word of God in Exodus 31, and we start reading today from verse 12. Exodus 31, starting at verse 12. This is the word of God. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Word of God from Exodus 31 this morning. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ and friends, marriage is a covenant between man and woman. We read about God's covenant with Israel, but of course you know that marriage is that covenant between husband and wife, a binding relationship between husband and wife. And we who are married have signs of that covenant. Husbands and wives wear wedding rings. Brothers, what do your wives say if they notice for some reason or another that you're not wearing your ring one day? Honey, did you lose your wedding ring? And they ask you if you lost it, because of course you would not have chosen to take off your wedding ring. And if your wife finds that ring in the pocket of your pants while she's doing laundry, you get a different question. Did you take it off, honey, because you didn't want somebody to see that we're married or something? What? You best not mess around with that sign of your marriage covenant, because doing so can very easily suggest that the marriage itself doesn't really matter to you. Right? That your spouse isn't all that important to you. God's message here in Exodus 31 is that the Sabbath day was a sign of his covenant with Israel. The Sabbath day, a sign of Israel's relationship with Yahweh, the living God. So if an Israelite man was to work on the Sabbath day, rejecting that covenant sign, he's not just failing to observe a day. He's rejecting his relationship with his God. Friends, the Lord's Day is a sign of our covenant with God. And when we disregard this day of rest, this day of worship, we say to God and to the world that our relationship with God is really not that important to us. See, we're not talking, again, friends, we're not talking merely about keeping a day, but keeping covenant with our God and Savior, maintaining a relationship with our God and Savior. If you want a better understanding of why we and the Reformed churches of this federation to which we belong still very much believe that the Lord's Day is a Sabbath day observance. If you want a better understanding of that Sabbatarian position, well, you'll have to listen to the morning sermon from a couple weeks ago. Last week, we turned to the practice of a weekly Sabbath rest. We began thinking about what it is especially that God calls us to do in observing the day. It's not especially observing a day or thinking about the day itself, but really God's primary requirement, we might say, is that we would turn to God and worship Him, that we would hear His word. Question answer 103 in our Heidelberg Catechism, particularly helpful here. It reminds us that salvation in Christ brings to you and me, believers, spiritual rest already, right? Our salvation in Christ really does bring about an already of everlasting Sabbath rest with our God. Not only for the because we have the forgiveness of sins and peace with God through the blood of Christ, but also because He gives us His Spirit who leads us to walk in repentance. The Catechism saying, remember, 103, the answer there, saying that through that gift of the Spirit, we believers redeemed in Christ are able, actually able, in this life, on a daily basis, to experience a beginning of that everlasting rest of God. But remember, God also gives us a particular day each week. We may and should definitely experience Sabbath rest through Jesus Christ and the gift of the Spirit every day of our lives. But God still gives us one day. One day of the week, the Lord's Day, when He is especially at work in us by His Spirit to build you up through the Word of Christ. And therefore, friends, our chief duty, as I pointed out last week, our chief duty on the Lord's Day is diligently to attend church where God is working. God's doing that greatest work of saving and sanctifying His people through His Word and Spirit. Diligent church attendance, our chief duty on the Lord's Day. But that is certainly not all that we need to say about a practice of a weekly Sabbath day rest. If we really believe God gives us a day of rest, beloved, we will make sure to empty this day of various activities that occupy us throughout the week. And that brings me to my first main point this morning. We keep the day of rest by keeping it emptied of all the worldly business for which God gives us 6 other days. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, the Apostle John calls Sunday the Lord's Day. A day that belongs to the Lord in a special way. Now, certainly, I'm sure some of you are saying everything belongs to the Lord and every day belongs to the Lord. And that's true. And we, especially, redeemed the blood of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we always belong to Him and every one of our days really belongs to Him. We're to be devoted to Him every day of our lives. Not really more so on one day than on another. No. Always devoted to our Redeemer Jesus. But on the Lord's Day, He calls us to devote ourselves to Him in a particular way, doing particular things. And this requires that we clear out from this day those activities that usually preoccupy us. Our catechism calls the Lord's Day the festive day of rest. Not the festive hour on Sunday morning when you worship, but rather God is calling us to set apart a day. To set apart the Lord's Day as a day of rest. Clearly God's direction to Israel in our passage, Exodus 31. Again, listen to verse 15 there. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. God tells His people to do all their work those other days of the week because on His Sabbath day, His, right, my Sabbath, on His day, The people of Israel were to do no work at all. It was to be a thoroughgoing rest. You remember the language of the fourth commandment, particularly as we find it with the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5. God makes it so very clear. This is to be a thoroughgoing rest. You're to be particularly careful that nobody's working. You give rest to even the foreign servants in the land, the sojourner within your gates. You even give rest to the animals, all of your livestock. All work stops. You see, God's very emphatic. No work on his Sabbath day. It was a day holy to the Lord, set apart, belonging to God. That's what we mean. Not that the day in and of itself has inherent holiness. Please understand. A day holy, H-O-L-Y, holy to the Lord, meaning it is a day set apart to him, belonging to him. And since his covenant people belonged to him, redeemed out of Egypt, God taking that people to be his own special possession, Israel was called to set apart the Sabbath day from the other days of the week by emptying that day of their daily affairs. Emptying the day. Israel was given a command for Sabbath keeping. We also find there in our passage a command for Sabbath breaking. Death. Right? The one who works on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. Old Covenant Israel, of course, was a theocracy, a particular form of government which no longer belongs to the church in the New Covenant. God now gives the power of the sword to civil governments of this world. Before, it was Israel's, the church and the state wedded together, as it were. But now God gives to the civil governments of this world that power of the sword, in other words, to punish physically evildoers. To his church, of course, he does not give the power of the sword any longer. He gives us instead a spiritual form of discipline. We typically call it church discipline. So indeed, friends, there are some important changes that have taken place moving from Old Covenant to New. Not just that change of Saturday to Sunday, right? Changes in the judicial law because of the end of the theocracy of Israel. But the moral principle of the fourth commandment still applies, and faithful churches will excommunicate impenitent members who insist on using the Lord's Day as if it is just another day of the week for their work and play. Beloved, there is severe punishment for Sabbath breakers, one way or the other. But please, people of God, listen. Do not mistake that heavy punishment as an indication that the fourth commandment itself was a heavy burden for God's people. No. He gave us the Sabbath day so that we could rest. That's not a heavy burden. Stop all your work and rest. And rest with your God. And taste his goodness. Taste his everlasting Sabbath, which is ours through his redeeming grace in Christ. The day of rest is no burden, but a sweet blessing to those who keep it. And we will keep it again, friends. We will keep that day of rest by emptying the Lord's Day of those activities that usually keep us busy throughout the week. When he mentions our Sabbath duty in his word, God so often reminds us that he gives us 6 days to do all our work. That's enough time, especially if you work hard on the job. That's enough time. But of course, throughout the week, we really need to make wise use of the time that we have when we're away from the job, when we're away from the typical daily workplace. We got to make use of all of those hours in a wise, God-fearing manner. Then, when the Lord's Day arrives, we can actually observe a day of rest. Because that day has been emptied, you see, of all of the other activity that usually preoccupies us. Dear saints, keep the day of rest by emptying out of this day your housework, your yard work, homework for school. Keeping a day of rest requires us to lay aside all our daily burdensome work. God did not give Israel a detailed list of what they may or may not do on the Sabbath day. He just didn't. Precious few passages in the Old Testament that actually explain to us how somebody could break that day of rest in practice. That list, that detailed list of what you may or may not do, that's the creation of the Pharisees, who managed to turn the Sabbath day into a burden that nobody could carry, right? A burdensome yoke that the people could not bear. But make no mistake, friends, God prohibited all burdensome labor on the Sabbath day. He's very clear about that. In fact, he says, and this is just a little bit later in Exodus chapter 35, the Lord says there, in verse 3 of Exodus 35, that the people of Israel were not even to kindle a fire in their homes on the day of rest. Now today we can throw some food into a pot and heat it up on the stove with almost no effort at all. It's just not burdensome work. And that passage in Exodus 35, I guarantee you, cannot apply to cooking on the Lord's Day. Because we don't build fires and have to keep them going all day long. It's just a different context. Context is important. It's not wrong to cook food on the Lord's Day. God was not telling the Israelites that it was wrong for them to prepare a simple meal on the Lord's Day, on the day of rest, on the Sabbath day. Keeping a fire going, right? Kindling it and keeping it going. That's hard work. That can be very burdensome. But we know that making a simple meal on the Lord's Day is not a sin. It's not Sabbath breaking. Jesus makes this abundantly clear in Matthew 12. He and his disciples are passing through the field. This was our passage last week. Matthew 12, Jesus and the disciples are hungry on the Sabbath day. And his disciples are picking some heads of grain and eating. The Pharisees are accusing them of sinning by breaking the Sabbath by doing some work. Jesus says, wrong. It's fine to get some food. That's not burdensome toil. You see, what the Pharisees were doing is making it a burden to keep the Sabbath. Jesus is saying, no, people can pick some grain to eat, satisfy their hunger, on that day that was made for man. You don't have to suffer with hunger because you're not allowed to prepare a simple meal. Pick a little grain. You understand, friends. People need to eat, and some minimal work can go into preparing food on the day of rest. God's law was clearly a prohibition for burdensome daily work. And that's what he makes so very clear in his word. It does raise the question, and I just want you to think about this for a moment. It is a very important question. What sort of work does God allow on the day of rest? You know, picking grain to eat is apparently okay, right? What else could be permissible on the day of rest? That passage in Matthew 12 showed us last week that there are some exceptions to the rule. Right? The priest, he works extra hard at the temple on the Lord's Day. Your pastor, all ministers of the gospel are working, most Lord's days, working very hard. A necessary work of religion. God says it has to be done, in fact. Commands it to be done. So you see, there are exceptions. We basically have two categories, and I'll just mention them very briefly. On the one hand, there are those works of necessity. Particular works that, in fact, must be done on the day of rest. We have to do some minimal work to eat on the day of rest. Doctors and nurses still have to be working in the hospitals on the day of rest. Police, firefighters, other people involved in law enforcement and emergency care, they have to be at work on the day of rest just as much as on every other day. These are works of necessity. They have to continue every day of the week. They cannot be stopped. There are also works of mercy. That's the other category. Works of mercy that God allows on the day of rest. In fact, works that he wants his people to do on the Sabbath day. If it means showing some act of mercy to someone so as to relieve that person from affliction, God wants us to do such acts of mercy, works of mercy. You remember, again, Matthew 12, Jesus did not break the Sabbath by healing that man's withered hand. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, he says. That was a work of mercy when he healed the man's hand. By doing it, Jesus actually allowed that man to enjoy more of God's Sabbath rest. Works of mercy, they're good to do on the day of rest. Well, friends, we don't have time to give much attention to those two categories, the exceptions, works of necessity and works of mercy. Do think carefully about them, but I really want to make sure that we all understand, since God wants us to have a day of rest each Lord's Day, Christians must not pursue careers or accept job positions, generally speaking, that require us to use every Lord's Day as a typical work day. We must prioritize God above job, worship above work. And friends, if you do not have to go into work on Sunday, you do officially have the day off, yet you are using this day to continue working, your problem is not really an inability to sit still. Many professing Christians continue working on the Lord's Day because they cannot trust God to provide for them if they stop working. They're addicted to their work because they find their security there. They find their happiness in worldly success and money rather than in their God and Savior. That's what motivates most Christian people to work on the Lord's Day. Not, of course, not all. But that is often the problem, friends. The root problem beneath that busy body and mind on the day of rest is idolatry in the heart. In the fourth commandment, God often reminds his people of his pattern of working and resting. He gives that reminder here. Notice verse 17. He says that the Sabbath day there, it is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. There it is again, the sign that God gives his people, but he points to that pattern that God had in the beginning of working, and then he's done with his work, so he rested on the seventh day. Friends, it's a reminder, really, that God's giving Israel there that mankind was supposed to follow the pattern, working and then finally entering in to God's everlasting Sabbath day, enjoying the full glory of everlasting life with God. That was the plan. Fallen sinners can never work our way into God's Sabbath rest. We need to be very clear about that. We work unto death now under the curse. That's plain from Genesis 3. And that's exactly what was happening to Israel back in Egypt. They were being worked unto death speedily. But God does the heavy lifting of saving his people. He does the work of saving sinners, and then he graciously gives us a Sabbath day rest to enjoy with him. You see, that's how the Sabbath day is assigned to his people, Israel. You follow? This is critical, friends. Please understand the main point of Exodus 31, our passage today. The plan from the beginning seemed to be all messed up by Adam's rebellion. But see, what God does is he redeems his people so they no longer have to work unto death. He delivers them from death and slavery in Egypt so that they could have life with God, could have the liberty to stop working one day of the week and enjoy a time of rest with God. So you see, to go on working on the Sabbath day is really to reject the gift of life from God. To go on working on the Sabbath day as if it is any other work day is really, unless we have to do that work, and unless it is a work of mercy, it is really to reject the free gift of life with God and life from God. Because we think we can gain life through our own work. It is folly that leads to death, my friends. It is idolatry that God punished with death. Beloved, if we really trust in God, our creator and provider, we will put aside our work on the Lord's day. If we really trust in Christ, our Savior, And we are truly receiving that kingdom which he obtained for us through his doing and dying, through his work. We will find our pleasure there on the Lord's day, in God's kingdom, not in the kingdoms of man. And that brings me to my second point. We keep that day of rest, friends, not only by emptying it, but also by filling it with certain activity. Again, my second point this morning, and I'll conclude with this point, we keep the day of rest by keeping it filled with those activities that God has appointed for us to enjoy life in him. And of course, those activities that he's appointed for us, worship, rest, and fellowship. I want to say just a couple of things about each one here. First of all, worship. God told Israel that the Sabbath was his day, and Israel could only keep the Sabbath if they would use that day to make it clear that they belong to God. Notice verse 13 again. God says, "Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. I've taken you to be my people. You belong to me. I've redeemed you. You're mine. You observe this day in the way that I appoint." Now, the Israelites did not go to God's temple every Sabbath day for public worship, okay? But this was a day for them to stop working that they may rest with God. Not just stop working, you see, but enjoy God's Sabbath rest. It's a spiritual thing, beloved. It's a worshipful thing. Even if they were in their homes praying to God and singing praises to him with their families. Some things, of course, have changed in the new covenant, but we are still, beloved, to observe a weekly Sabbath rest by stopping our work and turning to the Lord in worship. Most important that we spend the Lord's day with the Lord. And we especially do so by diligently going to his house for worship. How better to show the world that we are God's people? This is clearly what the Heidelberg emphasizes. Again, in question answer 103, just the first part there of the answer, you see the emphasis of the catechism. What is God's will in the fourth commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people, church, to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. It's a description there of what happens in worship on the Lord's Day. Last week we focused on that primary duty, a diligent attendance to church, because of the fact that God gathers his people to himself on this day when he is working in us by the power of his Spirit, strengthening us in Christ Jesus through that living word of Christ, right? But other things are happening in God's house. It's a time when we worship God, we're praising God, thanking him for all that he's given to us for salvation in Jesus Christ. It's that time when we publicly call on God in prayer and look to him to supply us with all that we need for this life and that which is to come. Friends, it is obviously true. Any day of the week, we can do some reading of the Word of God. We can pray to him. And we should do those things daily. But the Lord's day should be filled with these things. This is a day when God gathers us out of the world to be with him in a special way so that in public worship we may celebrate together life and liberty we have in God through the work of our Savior Jesus, his Son. This is a day for us to enjoy life with God, beloved. Do you enjoy it with him? And that should stretch beyond our gathering for worship on Sunday morning. The elders of the church call us to worship in the evening as well, because it is good to be near God, not a burden. Sweet to sing his praises. Morning and evening, we read in Psalm 92, that Sabbath song. They gather us morning and evening because we need the Holy Spirit to use the word of Christ to strengthen us, to give us endurance. And dear people of God, how much more we would benefit from God's word preached and taught in the church if we would spend time on the Lord's day thinking on it personally, crying out to God in our prayers, asking Him to apply His word even more to us, to our own lives. I encourage you to make this your Sabbath day practice. It will be sweet. It will be rewarding. It is not only for God's glory, though ultimately that, it is also, friends, for our good. Do not misunderstand me, however. I'm not saying that we should be busy with public and private acts of worship from the beginning to the end of the Lord's Day, which would be exhausting. Of course, the reason why so many Presbyterians take exception to that line in the Westminster Confession. It is the day of worship, but you cannot be involved publicly and privately in worship from beginning to end of the day, because then it will no longer be a day of rest. Friends, it's not just a day for worship in terms of having spiritual rest. God made us. He knows we're mortals. He knows we have only so much energy each day. He knows we get worn out from our work. And He appointed that day for rest. So it is to be filled with a good measure of it. Worship, yes, but also filled with rest. You might get that rest by taking a nap on Sunday afternoon. You might get that rest, that refreshment, by taking a walk. Just make sure that you do use this day to get some rest. Things usually get very fuzzy right about here, because so many of us will try to excuse all sorts of entertainment on the Lord's Day by saying this is how we rest. We watch one thing or another, we go here or there, and we enjoy some nice, relaxing entertainment. Friends, I'm not going to give you that much coveted, exhaustive list of permissible and impermissible things to do on the Lord's Day. I refuse. If for no other reason than I want to make sure I'm not a Pharisee. You know, what sort of material you can read on this day? What sort of things you can watch, be it on TV or elsewhere? How much exercise is too much? What sort of games are too fun? But friends, we will not go wrong if we keep in mind that God calls us to restful activity. I mean activity that really helps us to get rest for body and mind. Activity that will not draw you out of that holy rest God ultimately intends for your soul. You will not go wrong if that's your measure. And God means for us to enjoy that holy rest in our souls and in our bodies with others. And so finally, friends, this day is also to be filled with fellowship. We're not only to be in worship, fellowshipping with God, but I mean fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the family of God. It's a day to spend with Him, our God and Savior, also with His people, the covenant community. Now, of course, public worship is a big part of that fellowship. That is not to be the extent of our Lord's Day fellowship with each other. Not at all. Remember, our catechism says this is our festive day of rest. Festive, festival. People come together and they feast. Early church did not just come together for worship. They had a meal as often as they came together. It's a lost practice in much of the Church of Christ throughout the world, friends. But God indeed does intend for this to be a day when we do have fellowship with one another in worship, but when we are feasting with the family of God. He wants us spending quality time with each other on this day so that we may draw closer to one another and practice our love for each other. Remember that exhortation, friends, in Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful, turning us to the Word of God, right? We need that promise. We need to embrace it in faith, believing, trusting our God. But then notice Hebrews 10, 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is a day when we may love one another and build each other up with God's word. All of us exercising that prophetic task for which we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. And as we who have first been so greatly loved by God seek to love one another on the Lord's Day, fellowshipping with one another, it will turn into service. Yes, work. Yes, even on the Lord's Day, works of mercy, by which we will show our love for one another in action, not only for one another in the house of God, but even our love for those outside of it. This is what happened in Jerusalem, dear saints, as the church gathered there in Jerusalem for worship and fellowship to enjoy new life in the Spirit of Christ. We see their loving good works being demonstrated with one another, toward one another, and also toward those outside the church. I conclude with those words, Acts 2:42 and following. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. No, it isn't only to happen on the Lord's Day. We read there a couple of times, day by day, they're gathering with one another. But they are gathering for worship and fellowship, which we, as it turns out, really only do on the Lord's Day. Friends, let us make an effort, at least to begin here, enriching the worship of God among us and our fellowship with one another. And may the Lord be gracious to us and by his word and spirit so sanctify us. Not through miracles, but simply through our commitment to resting on the Lord's Day, in joyful worship of God, and in loving fellowship with each other. Many other sinners would come to realize that indeed we have life with God and that sweet liberty to serve him through Christ Jesus our Savior. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.